the first Indianapolis 500 was in 1911. And that race was won by a driver by the name of Ray Haroon, and he averaged 74 miles an hour over the 500 miles. It took him almost 6.5 hours to complete that race. These cars now, depending on how many yellow flags and what happens during the race, they qualified, the top qualifying speed was almost 226 miles an hour, and they'll average in the race, depending on yellow flags, et cetera, pit stops, they'll come in for 8 pit stops, they'll average approximately 185 miles an hour. So over the years, there's been a lot of evolution. The other things that have changed, it's covered up now, but the engines used to be in the front of the car, and they found through aerodynamics to move the engine from the front of the car to the back has helped greatly and made things better. And as you can see, the tires behind over here, all the tires used to be what they called skinny balloon tires back from the teens really through the mid-60s. Then they finally figured out the more surface area you have on the track, the faster you're going to be able to go through the corners. The big thing of Indianapolis or any form of racing is anybody can go down the straightaway fast, but how do you turn left when you're going 180, 190, 200, 220? So what's developed over the years is tires that give you a better stick to the track or adhesion to the track, so when you're driving 230 miles an hour, you can turn left, or they've added wings to the cars. And the wings on the cars, on the back, and then the front ones are off sitting up there. What these wings are, it's basically the opposite of what an airplane wing would be. An airplane wing causes updraft or lift on the airplane to get it in the sky. What they're trying to do with these cars, a wing will push you down on the track. It'll slow you down going down the front straightaway, but when you go through the corner, you're stuck to the track, if you will. The rear end of the car doesn't go out. When one of these cars gets up to 150 miles an hour with this downforce that's on the car that weighs 1,550 pounds, there's enough pressure on the rear wing and the front wings of the car that if you took the track at 150 miles an hour, turned the track upside down, the car would remain stuck to the racetrack. It wouldn't fall off the track, literally. All these cars are made of what they call carbon fiber materials. And it's a very high grade of almost like fiberglass, if you will. They put it in an oven. It's stronger than steel, and it's also lighter than steel. So it's safer, and over the years, it's helped drivers with safety. There used to be a lot of leg injuries due to accidents when the cars were metal up front. And believe it or not, until the 1940s, race car drivers at Indy thought they wanted to be thrown from the car for safety instead of stay with the car. So the first set of seat belts was actually used in 1946 to keep the driver in the car. I mean, how crazy is that? Back in the 30s, they're going 120 miles an hour. They thought they were safer to be thrown away from the car. Some other major changes over the years is right now the cars have 22 gallons, obviously, ethanol fuel in the cars. At one point in the 1960s, the cars were carrying 80 gallons of gasoline, so they were highly volatile. They've changed the way that they store the fuel in the cars. They now have a rubber fuel bladder in the car. So when the car hits the wall, the drivers used to worry about getting burned. That was the big thing in the 60s and 70s. The driver would come out with bad burns or literally be burned to death. But now between a lighter fuel load, 22 gallons of fuel, which they get 4 miles to the gallon on, and being in a rubber bladder system that was developed in Goodyear by Goodyear Tire and Rubber Company in the late 70s, it's become a lot safer. It's taken off of this car right now, but you can see there's something mounted up here and they're over that car. Each car in the middle right here has a mount. Half the cars in the race, including this one, that's where they have the onboard camera. So when you're sitting at home and see the picture right over the driver's shoulder looking at the steering wheel, that's where it comes from. Whether the car actually has a camera or not, 15 of the 33 cars will have an onboard camera. They found it to be an aerodynamic advantage, so you can't give it to one team and not give it to another. So some of them have fake camera mounts, if you will. You also notice on these cars that there's really no room or a very small area for a dashboard. Here comes the $10,000 steering wheel. This steering wheel does everything from talking to the, I'll kind of pass this around. Don't drop it. You break it, you buy it at $10,000 a crack. So you'd have to scalp your tickets for tomorrow. But it's everything from you can talk to your pit crew, you can make adjustments to the car, how the weight's distributed throughout the car, RPMs on your car, things that'll read out for what your pit speed is on the race car. So between this in the electronics on the car, there are more electronics on an Indy car in the 2007 Indy 500 than the entire Apollo 11 that went to the first moon. So the computers over the years have really revolutionized the sport and really made the technology. They know exactly how much fuel's being burned. They know the pressure in each tire on the car. And it's very, very technical. It's all thanks, for better or worse, to computers. And that's one thing that's driven the cost of auto racing up over the years, has been all this computer technology. If everybody wants to just get a little bit closer and look in the cockpit, you'll notice that the seat in the cockpit is pretty much formed to the driver. When you get in your passenger car, whether it's a Honda, Toyota, whatever, you sit in a generic seat. Well, when you're going down the road and you turn 30 miles an hour, you hope your seat belts hold you in or you slide all over the place. These seats are made specifically for each driver. When you remember when you were a kid, you had a beanbag chair. And basically, they have the drivers in the shop sit in a beanbag chair, and their individual rear end and their legs are molded, and that mold is taken and put inside the car, so each cockpit is specific to each driver. The reason for the holes in the mirrors, if you see under the mirrors, this is aerodynamically the best location on the car to locate the mirrors, but the drivers couldn't see the wheels. So if there was debris on their tires or they had a cut tire, if this was full, there was no way for the driver to see it. So teams over the years developed it. Now you can see through and see your tires on the front of the car. Any questions yet? I'll get into some other stuff. Anything? I know I go fast, I ramble, but that's what it's all about. All the cars run a Honda engine. It's mandated by the Indy Racing League that they use Honda engines. Over the years, they've used different brands, or there's been competing brands. But to help keep the cost down, they're using just Honda engines. The engines develop approximately 670 horsepower. They're non-turbocharged engines. And a lot of this technology someday will carry over into street engines. The teams lease the engines from Honda. The engines last for 1,200 miles, and they turn them back in to Honda. The teams are not allowed to do anything except attach the engine to the car. Other than that, that's it. Everything's proprietary. Honda owns it. The chassis cost between $250,000 and $300,000. I might have said that before. So as you can see, it's not a cheap sport. So it's great when you've got sponsors like Ethanol and Patron that want to get involved and spend money on it to make things go well. Any questions? RPMs, it's with the rev limiter on it, it's 10,200. But tomorrow when you're watching the race, you'll see it'll be 33 cars. The race will last 200 laps. If it rains or if it's on and off weather during the day, it's mandatory that the race lasts at least 101 laps before it's called the official distance. So if it starts raining at 80, they'll make everybody come back the next day. If it's pouring down rain and they can't finish it. And Indianapolis is actually one of the few tracks in this day and age that doesn't have lights. So everybody comes, you'll have to come back the next day. They'll try to run 200 laps. But if once you get to 101, that's always the magical term or what you hear to get in what they call a complete race. So,
is that an extra car?
This is the car that actually Jeff Simmons will race in the race tomorrow. This is the actual car, exception with the wheels taken off and the front nose over there. And that's, the front nose is off just because basically the crew guys are working on the car today, and with garage tours, it's just a lot easier. But all the drivers have radio communication with their pit crews. All the drivers also, because they're so low in the car, and their vision on their sides is so limited, they have spotters that are up high in turn 3 and high in turn 1 at the track, and they'll tell them there's a driver on the outside here that they can't see in the rear view mirror. They'll say driver inside, driver outside, how close the next driver is behind them, and who they're catching and at what rate of speed, to kind of be their additional set of eyes and ears, because you can imagine when you're strapped in and your rear end's 4 inches off the ground and you're going 230 miles an hour, you're looking straight ahead and you don't have a lot of peripheral vision. What they'll do is they'll put a thing of Gatorade up here in the nose of the car, just like a rubber thing you can buy at Walmart, and it's a drink hose, and it literally squirts. Then they also, during the pit stops, they'll throw them a water bottle. But the thing is, they've gone to, they're, ethanol, you get 4 miles per gallon. They hold 22 gallons of fuel. So you'll pit approximately every 30 laps. I'm not a math magician. About 25 to 30 laps. They'll also give them a drink bottle, but they're in the pits for such a short time. It only takes about 7 or 8 seconds to put in the fuel, and it takes about the same amount of time to change the tires. They're in the pits for only 8 to 10 seconds. And they've actually found on these drivers, when they're out on the racetrack, their heartbeat is between 160 and 170 beats per minute, but the driver's heartbeat when they're in the pits will actually go up to 180 to 190. The reason for that is when they're on the racetrack, they control their own destiny. They know they're going to turn left. They know they're going to turn right. They know what they're going to do. But when they're in the pits, they're worrying, is the right front tire guy going to screw up? Is the guy going to put the fuel in right? My teammate just pitted in front of me. How am I going to get around him? So the pit stop's actually more stressful for the driver, increases their heart rate more than what they do when they're racing out on the racetrack. Anything else? Yeah, the steering wheel's pretty amazing. I mean, that. And that's, you know, if you look at how passenger cars have evolved, when you think of it, my first car I know, it was a steering wheel. Well, now I can mess with the radio, and I can do cruise control, and I can do a little bit of everything. And that's kind of how this is all followed also.